time, both brothers and sisters, and just talking to one of the organizers or myself, shall we facilitate how to do that. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Samahat Sheikh Hussan al-Ghani.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, before I begin tonight's talk and the subject which I've been given, then I'd like to extend my condolences on the passing or the martyrdom of the lady Fatima Zahra salamullahi alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. According to some of the traditions, she passed 75 days after her father. So based on those traditions, then these are the times which are connected to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. The other thing I'd like to remind us all about is the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. That's also another important event for us to remember, and there's also lessons for us to derive from this event. One of those lessons, or a lesson that we'd like to use nowadays in the modern times, and I want to go over this one very briefly, but I feel like it's a good reminder for all of us. One of the things that we saw that Imam Khomeini, may Allah have mercy on his soul, did was he taught the brothers and sisters to believe in their abilities and that they could overcome any challenge that was thrown their way. Any bala that came upon them, Imam Khomeini would always imbibe this spirit, breathe this into the individuals that we're capable. You can do this. You're bigger than this. You're stronger than this. It's a very important principle for all of us to have in our lives, and especially in the times going forward. If there is any situation, we'll look at this, and then I want to share the verse of the Quran that we can use, because many of us are in situations where we need to remind other believers about their abilities. We should be doing the same thing that Imam Khomeini did for all of us. We should be doing it for other believers. We should be telling them, you're capable, you can, you will overcome. What I'd like to share is the Quranic principle behind his stance. Why is it that he would make those statements? That no matter what the situation you're in, no matter what bala you're facing, you're able to overcome. So the verse of the Quran, Surah Baqarah, Surah 2, and verse number 286. So Surah Baqarah, and then verse number 286. What Allah says in the Holy Quran is this, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَا يُكَلِّفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not place any burden on a soul except to the extent of its ability. So if there's any situation that I'm currently in, and it's not something I've created with my own hands, right? A bala that came from the outside, or even a situation which I personally am in, but in this situation, I have a responsibility, taklif, duty. At this time, Allah says in the Quran, I don't place any duty, I don't place any burden on your souls or on any soul that's greater than your ability. That means I can overcome it. I can, no matter what it is. Bahrain now. Bahrain. Saudi Arabia has gotten directly involved. The Navy is there. Sheikh Isa Qaim is under house arrest. Can they overcome? Absolutely. In Iraq, with the creation of Daesh, can they? Absolutely. Anything, any situation that we didn't create, even for us now, with the rise of the far right and the new president and his policies, it's not something that's too great that we're going to collapse, that we're going to... No! لَا يُكَلَّفَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وَسْعَهَا. So we can overcome this. And we will overcome this, inshallah. We're not surprised, by the way, at what they're doing. This is a Fir'auni tactic. The idea of dividing the people, of oppressing one group. We're not surprised that the administration has decided to pick on those who are voiceless. Those who seem weaker. Actually, Fir'aun did that. If you want to look at this in the Holy Quran, Surah Qasas and verse number 4. Just read the verse, because this isn't the main topic tonight. But the verse was something for us to think about. What did Fir'aun do? Surah Qasas, Surah 28, verse number 4. Inna Fir'aun ala fil ard. Truly, Pharaoh was arrogant in the land. He was arrogant in the land. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. He divided the people of the land into groups. This is something that's been there from before, dividing people. It's not even that the administration will serve the whites who are disenfranchised. This is a tactic. This is something that Fir'aun does. It says, وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا. What did he do? يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ. That he divided the people into groups, and then he oppressed one group. One party, Pharaoh oppressed. يُذَبْدِحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِ نِسَاءَهُمْ. He used to kill these people, slaughter the boys, and he used to also let the women, he would spare the women. And it continues saying that he was an agent of corruption. So this isn't anything new, and their Gestapo tactics don't frighten us. The Muslim ban doesn't surprise us. We'll survive. We'll make it. Now, back to our discussion tonight. Tonight's discussion is about Islam, the thinking man's religion. The thinking man's religion. Now, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of verses that I need to share tonight, and I know sometimes that gets a little bit tough. It might seem all over the place, but the reason for doing this is I would like to cover this topic properly, and then we can move on. There's only going to be, hopefully, one session on this. If we don't, then we'll be forced to cover some of the verses, let's say, in another session. But I'd like to wrap it up, if we can, now. These following verses that I want to share with you, and these ideas of faith, I think, are important for us to keep in mind. More than that, we don't want to only be thinking about ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility, each and every one of us, in our circle of influence, of introducing Imam Mahdi to the world. All right? So why go over these verses in this detail? Why explain in this way? Because we're not just thinking we're going to do this ourselves. What can we share so the world can be saved? So we'll go over the verses. One of them, we'll start with this concept. Iman, faith, is one of the core characteristics of the Anbiya and their followers. One of the great and important traits of the prophets, the Rusul, is faith, iman. So the verse of the Holy Quran is this. This is Surah Baqarah. I'm going to give several verses that will all be from Surah Baqarah, inshallah, about this particular topic. So from 285 onwards, as we a couple of verses, inshallah, I'll see how many of them I'm able to share. But at least you'll know where the main part of the discussion is going to be. We're starting off with faith itself. So it says this. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. The messenger believes in that which has been sent down to him from his Lord, as do the believers. آمن الرسول, and also the مؤمنون, belief. This is one of those great and important traits, and this is the difference, one of the differences, because we're talking about Imam Mahdi now. One of the differences between a divine leader, someone who God sends, someone who feels accountable for his being in this world, and secular leaders, one of the traits, is this very trait of iman and faith, believing in what they believe. With secular leaders, they may say attractive statements. They may say things which bring people in. They may talk about democracy. They may say they're going to make America great, for instance. But what happens is these individuals, when it either they don't believe in the slogans altogether, the secular leaders, or they believe in them, but then they believe in them to the extent that it doesn't conflict with their personal interests. When it conflicts with the interests, that kind of iman, I'll be a shaheed in this way, that's not there. I'm here to fool everybody else. So the difference between these two, aman al-rasul. And now I want to give some examples of aman al-rasul. So what you remember from your history, from history, Islamic history, what we're taught is that the Quraysh were prepared to give the Holy Prophet everything he wanted. They were prepared to give him the dunya on a platter if he would just stop teaching and preaching Islam. We've heard that. The same trick that they do nowadays, the carrot and the stick, from one side, because they're talking, this part of the Islamic history you probably heard when Abu Talib comes to the Prophet and he explains what Quraysh are saying. So what are Quraysh saying? From one side, the carrot. They said, if it's wealth that he wants, if he wants to rule, he wants to be the king, if he wants women, whatever it is, we'll fix that. The other side is painful, right? The carrot and the stick. When the message was delivered to the Prophet, this is what he says. The answer of a true believer. He says, "La wudhi'ati shamsu fi yamini." If they were to give me the sun in my right hand, wal qamaru fi shimali, and the moon in my left hand, he says, "Ma taraktu hadha al-qawl hatta unfidhahu aw uqtala duna." He says, I wouldn't abandon this way. I wouldn't abandon Islam. I wouldn't abandon God's religion. He says, either I'll implement it, I'll carry it out, I'll be successful in this world, or uqtal, I'll be killed. The Prophet was so overwhelmed by emotion after he made the statement, they said the Prophet started to tear up. Right? This is a statement of a believer. The Prophet believed in what he's saying. If he's offering this to others, it's not because the Prophet is telling us one thing, fooling us. No, the Prophet would do that. Number two about divine leadership. Again, bringing this back to Imam Mahdi so the world can know what kind of a savior they're going to get. The Imam also, meaning, well, let's go to the Prophet. Divine leadership embraces the challenges that come with believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've all heard, this has been well documented, the amount of pressure that was put on the mu'mineen in Mecca. Abdullah bin Mas'ud was beaten savagely. There was a man named Khabbab. Khabbab. He was branded. We haven't, alhamdulillah, we're not facing that kind of branded. Bilal under that stone, Ahad, calling out to God. Sumayya martyred, right? Her husband, right? Amma. So that's there, that's true. All of them suffered. But more than anyone, divine leadership, in embracing the challenges, the Prophet was troubled and harmed more than anyone. And he embraced this. Let me show you one hadith of the Holy Prophet. He says, مَا أُوذِيَ نَبِيٌّ مِثْلَ مَا أُوذِيتْ. No prophet was tormented the way that I was tormented. Now, I want to share a little bit of why this is the case, what our Prophet was like, and why he's so inspirational. So it's not only that our Prophet would face that personal insults would be hurled at him, right? And we heard those stories. Not only the physical harm, the harassment, the guts being thrown on him, not only the stones, remember the stories of the little kids throwing rocks at our Prophet? Not only that, right? The death threats, and assassination attempts, death threats and assassination attempts, right? We remember the night that Amir al-Mu'mineen was asked to stay on it, that we're going to kill the Prophet. Death threats, assassination attempts, not only that. One thing that's true for divine leadership, and any of us, if we're ever put in a situation that there's others counting on us, others believers who somehow were responsible for their lives, the Prophet ﷺ was like this. He cared about the believers. He suffered when the believers suffered. That's very different. The Prophet, not only personally facing this, each and every, I will share the verse with you, but each and every believer who was taking a hit in the way of God, suffering in the way of Allah, our Prophet would suffer along with him. Imam Mahdi also with you guys, all of you, when he sees your struggle, when he sees how difficult it is to resist, the imam is also feeling. But let me share the verse of the Holy Quran. So this is Surah 9 and verse number 128. Allah is describing what the Prophet is like. He says, Surah Tawbah 128, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. A messenger has come to you from yourselves. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Troubled is he by that which you suffer. It troubles the Prophet. You're going through difficulty, the Prophet's suffering. He's feeling it. What else? حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. The Prophet is full of concern for you. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Kind and merciful to the believers. So this is the Prophet, divine leadership, the difference between that and secular leadership. You know how the Prophet demonstrated that iman, that true faith that he had? When he was willing to put his closest people in harm's way for his mission. That's when you really believe. I'll give you an example. Example we can understand, then we'll go back to the Prophet. For instance, in Karbala, imagine if Imam Hussein alayhi salam only had his 72 or 100 followers, armed men, Abbas, these other brave individuals, and we're going now to Kufa. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, we're killed, but we're men. I mean, this is what it's about. When you believe in the mission is when you take the women and children. When you're facing an army of 30,000 people with your women and children, that's when you believe. You put everything that you have. And the Prophet, maybe you've heard this also, with the Prophet, the Christians, and when they did the advent of Mubahala, right, when they said, well, we'll curse one another, and whoever's false, they'll be destroyed, they'll be eradicated. When they were going to implement that, the Christians, they're telling the story. They said that they were waiting to see who the Prophet brought with him. When they saw that the Prophet only brought Fatima al-Zahra, salam Allahi alayha, Amiru alaykum alayhum as-salam, Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, when they saw those individuals, they said, this is a real Prophet. He really means this. He brought the closest people. He didn't come here with his tribe, with people, right? So true Islamic leadership is like that. We're all in this together. Now, what happens is, now let's go back to the topic of our conversation and the rest of those verses. So we'll go back to Surah Baqarah 285 and then those following verses and try and look at these verses as we should. So we're still defining for ourselves what iman means according to Quran, according to Sunnah, according to Islam. We came away with a definition that was different to the definition of faith in a secular society, a godless society, or even the faith that's being spread when other people are talking about faith. We're going back to the original Quranic concept. In Islam, what we've learned so far is that faith, iman, means action. The two are always mentioned together. Iman and amalun salih. We have to have both, right? It's not that I believe one thing, it's just in my mind. No, iman and thing. Now, with the believers, back to that verse. And then, so back to 285. We can read the verse together. It says, after the first part, kullun amana billah wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulih la nufarriqu bayna ahadin min rusulih. So each and every one, the Prophet and all of those believers, all of them believe in Allah, in the angels, in all of God's books, and in all of the prophets. And it says that we don't make any difference between any of the prophets. Let's say we're talking to a circle outside of our own. If we were there in the time of Isa, we would be with Isa. If we were there in the time of Musa, with Musa. Sulaiman, Dawood, right? So we're just saying that this is the last prophet, the final prophet. But otherwise, we don't make any difference. It's all coming from God, submission to God, obeying Allah. That's what it's all about. Now, back to that true faith, real faith, iman. We have to define this. True faith, what we're looking for, is faith which is based on an unshakable intellectual conclusion. The believer is going to have thought about faith, arrived at faith. It's one that we arrive at after rational consideration. True iman, iman that's valuable in Islam, is that faith that we arrive to after that intellectual process. I want to give you a verse of the Quran, and continuing with the verse of the Quran, then explain this topic a little bit more. Back to that verse of Surah Baqarah. Let's look at this verse together. Surah Baqarah 285. It says, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Those same believers is what's happening. The believers say, we hear and we obey. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. غُفْرَانَكَ. Forgive us, رَبَّنَا, our Lord, and our return is to you. So what happens is, this hearing, this sama, this is different from passive listening. Passive listening. Let's say somebody's walking in the mall, and they're playing music which is forbidden for us. It's coming, I hear it, it comes to me, to my ears, the physical reaction of my eardrums that happens, but I'm not listening to it, and I'm not accountable for it. I'm not committing any haram. I'm walking, somebody else is playing haram music. Am I getting a sin? No. I'm doing my responsibility. This is different from sami'na. This one is, we've heard with all of our existence. We've understood, and then we submit it. Sami'na wa ata'na. We've heard, we've understood, we're there till the end, whatever it takes, wa ata'na. We've obeyed. Then please forgive us. So they followed Islam because Islam was clear for them that it was true. Now this one I want to talk about a little bit more, because again our audience is not just us. Our audience is that circle of influence that each and every one of us has, and us doing our part to prepare the world, now that we have all of this attention, to prepare the world for the return of the Imam of the time. Islam is a religion that condemns those who follow illogical, irrational beliefs without any consideration, without thinking about it. I just believe in this way. Actually, Islam condemns it. I want to give you the verse of the Holy Quran. So this one is Surah Ma'idah, so Surah 5 and verse number 104. Right? We're going to understand what it means. What does true faith mean? Faith that we arrive to, faith that we think about. Then we come to this conclusion, as opposed to taqleed in faith, believing because others believe in a certain way. So this is what the verse says. It says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ قَالُوا. When it is said to them, come unto which Allah has sent down and to the messenger, they say, these other people say, these other non-believers, those outside of the circle of Islam, say this, حَسْبُنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. What our forefathers were doing, that's sufficient for us. They were doing it. They're following it. That's our path. That's very different from Islamic faith, that true faith that we're looking for. This is a very different thing. Our forefathers were doing this. Look at what God says next. He says, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Even though their forefathers didn't know anything and they weren't guided, still you're just following whatever your forefathers did? Right? So the Quran is not impressed. Islam is not impressed by that kind of faith. Now, the problem is this. Those who are outside of our circle, they may have only been exposed to the Judeo-Christian definition of faith. They may not have been exposed to our definition of faith as Muslims, so therefore they're making certain presumptions on that. We have to introduce the Islamic concepts to these individuals. I remember hearing a story once. They said that there was a little girl, well, actually a class. A teacher came into a class, a young lady came into the class, and she told the class proudly of little kids, she said, I'm an atheist. The kids were all listening. And then she said, I want you to raise your hands. Who else is an atheist in the class? And the little kids all raised their hands. Everybody raising their hands. We're all atheists. They didn't understand what it meant, but they wanted to be like the teacher. They saw one little girl. She was sitting in the corner. Her name was Maryam. She didn't raise her hand. She looked at her. She said, why didn't you raise your hand? Why are you different? She said, well, actually, I'm not an atheist. She said, well, what are you? She said, I'm a Muslim. She said, you're a Muslim? why are you a Muslim? She said, actually, from the time I was little, I knew about God. My mom's a Muslim, my dad's a Muslim, I'm a Muslim. And then the teacher really got angry. She said, that's not a reason. She said, what about if your dad was a moron, your mom was a moron, then what would you be? She said, then I'd be an atheist. So they haven't been introduced there, but the Quranic concepts are going to be very different, right? The idea of why do we arrive at faith? Why could we resist, let's say in a classroom like that, still to be able to stand our ground? Why is it there? Let's look at the thing. So when we're introducing Islam now, which is different from Christianity, right? We're saying that we as Muslims never had a renaissance. We didn't feel threatened by science. We didn't have to threaten Galileo. Right? We've been encouraged as believers to seek and discover knowledge. Actually, the more we know about Allah's system, the closer it should bring us to God. This is a hadith from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, "Utlubu al-ilm walau bis-seen." Search for knowledge, look for knowledge, even if it's in China. It's obviously not Tawheed. The Prophet's not sending the believers to go to China to look for Tawheed, to look for the oneness of God. Science, knowledge, that's wonderful. We look for that. We're not threatened by that. Actually, we find that the more you know about the secrets of the universe, the closer you should become to God. I shared this with some other brothers and sisters once, that when I would go to my dentist in Iran, it would always be a class of getting to know God. He would be telling me more and more of the secrets of the human body, for instance, about teeth, about the gums. And then after that, just listening, then just be pondering, like, how is it somebody could still say God doesn't exist? The more you know, the more amazing God's system is, as opposed to science be something that drives me away from God. There's no conflict. We're encouraged, actually, to seek. And it'll bring us closer to God. So, because others have not been exposed to the way of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they haven't seen faith as defined by Quran and Sunnah, right? Due to the ignorance of these facts, then they come to those wrong conclusions. So what we're trying to do is to invite them to think outside of the box. Don't think about faith in the terms you've heard. Think about it from an Islamic point of view, our definition of what faith is. More than that, I want to give another example. We may have heard about this one also. Where the Prophet refused, even for holy purposes, to take advantage of people not knowing about the laws of science. Right? Not only is it not opposed and telling us to seek, there were times, incidents that happened, for instance, one I want to share with you, where an event happened that the Prophet could have used to his advantage. For instance, they say that when his son Ibrahim died, the Prophet obviously is grieving, he's sad, and there was a solar eclipse that happened at the same time. Some people were unaware of the laws of science at that time, and they started to say, this is because of Ibrahim's death. Right? The Prophet heard about this, realized people were ignorant of the laws of nature. Let's look at the words of the Holy Prophet. Ya ayyuha nas, O people, he says, Inna shamsa wal qamar ayatan min ayatillah. The sun and the moon are signs of Allah. يُخَوِّفَ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا عِبَادًا. God uses these signs to frighten His servants. لَا يَنْخَسِفَانِ لِمَوْتِ أَحَدٍ وَلَا لِحَيَاتِهِ. They don't have these eclipses, not for the death of anyone, not for the life of anyone. He says, so when you see this, then you remember, you have go to the remembrance of Allah. He says, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ ذَلِكَ فَفْزَعُوا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. After that, you go over and you perform your prayers. But the Prophet wasn't willing to use the ignorance of the people to advance the cause of Islam. The sun, the heavens and earth are upset about because the Prophet was upset. No. Right? I want faith. If it's going to be faith, then it's based on that reasoning, arriving at that right conclusion. So it's not that we as believers don't respect the intellect. Actually, what we say is that as a believer, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the process, when we arrive at faith, we're answering the call of the inner prophet. The outer prophet is calling us to believe, but we're replying to that call of the inner prophet. So let me share this hadith with you. It says, Ya Hisham, inna lillah ala nas hujjatain. God has two hujjah, two proofs over the people. Hujjatan zahira. There's one apparent hujjah, wa hujjatan batina, and a hidden hujjah. The apparent hujjah, it says, فَالرُّسُلْ وَالْأَنْبِيَا وَالْأَئِمَّ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّلَامُ. The prophets of God, the a'imma, these are the apparent hujjah. The internal hujjah, وَأَمَّا الْبَاطِنَ فَالْأُقُولَ. The intellect. So Islam, unlike some other religions, Islam is saying, no, think about it, then arrive at it. I want to give you an example now. There were times when the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam were approached by atheists. There's a verse of the Quran which shows us one of the approaches that we use when we're dealing with somebody who doesn't believe in God's existence. But I want to take you on a read over the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt, and you can see how they applied these principles. So, when the Ahlul Bayt were... The verse, maybe we're going to look at it and then have it, or even examine the verse, Surah 52 and verse number 35. Let's see if brothers and sisters can find the verses. The verse itself is nice, and then after that we'll read the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. So sisters, anybody found it? 52, 35. Brothers, you got it? Sisters, anybody? Yes. Okay. Let's see if it's the same verse that I have. It says, "Am khuliqu min ghairi shay'in am humul khaliqun?" Were they created from naught? Were they created from nothing? Am humul khaliqun, or are they the creators? Somebody comes over, I'll give you the hadith. A man enters into the presence of the eighth imam and he says, O son of the messenger of Allah, what's the proof that the universe emerged? He says, look at the words of the imam, you didn't exist and you came into being. The question asks, any human being, were you always here? Were you always here or were you created? He says, you did not exist yet you came into being. You already know you didn't create yourself. It's not the question in your mind that, no, I'm my own creator. Do you guys remember the five percenters? Huh? Maybe y'all don't remember. Anyhow, well, let's not go into inherafat. He says, you already know you didn't create yourself and that you haven't been created by somebody like you. Sometimes, though, the Ahlul Bayt would walk people through the process. We'll see this logical process that the imam is walking people through, how they're arriving at this conclusion. So look at this one now. So they come into the imam, the presence of Imam Sadiq, they ask him a question, how can you prove that you have a creator? Keep in mind that verse, the question God asks, were you created from nothing, or are you the creators? Or is there a third option? Look at what the Ahlul Bayt says. The imam says this, he says, when I examine myself, I find there's two possibilities, two logical possibilities. Either I've created myself, or someone else has created me. Logical. Either I created myself or somebody else has created me. Then he says, now I'll take it even further. He says, if I've created myself, then there's one of two options. Either I created myself and I already existed, I was already there, but I created myself. He says, or I created myself and I was non-existent. I wasn't there yet, but I still created myself. He says, if I created myself when I already existed, right? So if I was already there, and then I decided to create myself. He says, when I was self-sufficient of giving existence to myself. So how would or why would I create myself when I already existed? That's illogical. That can't be the case, right? That's not wise. I already exist, and I'm going to create myself again? No, that's illogical. So he's cutting out that possibility. What else is the imam doing? He says, or if I was non-existent... And he goes to something which is what we call badihi, self-evident. If it wasn't that I didn't exist, if I was nothing, the verse said, were you nothing? Were you created from nothing? He says, you know that the non-existent being can't bring itself into creation. It can't create anything. You know that the non-existent cannot bring about a thing. all human beings know that nothing can bring about something. So therefore, the third meaning is that the proven that I have a creator. Right? What he did was he walked us through the process. Was I created from nothing? Or did I create myself? And he just logically walked him through the entire process. He's cornered him to believe that, no, I was created. The third option is true. So what we find in the verses of the Quran is that the prophets explain to people that the existence of God is something no one should even have doubt in. Let's look at the verse of the Quran. Surah 14, verse number 10. قَالَتْ رُسُلُهُمْ The prophets, the Rusul, said this to the people. أَفِ اللَّهِ شَكٌ Is there doubt in God? Are you serious? You're telling me you don't know if God exists? أَفِ اللَّهِ شَكٌ Is there even any doubt? I'll give you an example. I'm hearing a story once. They said that once these two blonde ladies were walking down the street. Two blonde ladies were walking down the street. And it was a sunny afternoon. And then one of them looked up at the sun and said, "That's the moon up there." And the other blonde lady said, "No, it's not. It's the sun." She said, "No, it's not. It's the moon." She said, "It's the sun." Then finally the blonde lady, the smart blonde lady, said, "We're going to go to somebody else. And we'll ask them. You see that house over there? We're going to go to that house, knock on the door, and we're going to ask them which one of us is right." They went over to the door, they knocked on the door, and there was another blonde lady who answered the door. She said, "I have a question for you. You've been arguing about this for a while. Is that the sun out there, or is that the moon?" And the other blonde lady looked. She said, "I wouldn't know. I've only been living here 2 weeks." So we're not expecting that. We're expecting to believe it. It's obvious. I mean, like questioning the existence of God. Now, the thing about that other kind of faith, that faith that one didn't arrive to, let's say one hadn't gone through that intellectual process, well, wasn't convinced. Because otherwise, the creation itself, there are so many signs of Allah's existence. By looking at creation, we should be able to arrive at the Creator. If somebody hasn't done this process, because there's different ways that we get faith. Sometimes the reason I was introduced to Islam, my parents were Muslims. That was my way of arriving at faith initially. But let's say I didn't work on it. I didn't take it one step further. That kind of faith can be lost easily. Sometimes the reason somebody stops believing in God, stops faith, is I'm addicted to a certain sin. I want to keep committing this sin. I can't keep telling myself that Allah's going to answer. So I just tell myself, no, it doesn't exist. We have some verses of the Quran which indicate that this is a reason for denying the Day of Judgment. There's other times that, no, somebody badgers me about faith aggressively. I'm not used to debating about these concepts. Once I'm cornered and I haven't arrived at faith, that weak kind of faith, that disappears. Or sometimes bala. Somebody doesn't have that deep intellectual understanding about God. For instance, they thought that if you're a good person, you're never going to be tested. Then they're tested. Well, there's no God then. How could there be a God? And you see these people with the tsunamis and these other oppression and killing and these things. So that lacking. Now, back to the verse. So we're talking about those individuals, the true believers. And these individuals, there's one part of the verse that, one part that I actually, unfortunately, I missed, but we'll go to the other part. It says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ Truly, in the heavens and the earth, this is, should be, I'm not sure, is this 3190 for you guys? If you can look up the verse, let's just pause 1 second. 2164, is what you have there? Anyhow, let's read the verse of the Quran. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتِ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ Truly, in the heavens, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the variation of the night and the day, are signs for the possessors of intellect. The very creation itself, the sun and the moon, let's think about this just a little bit, right? How far are we away from the sun right now? What would happen if we were a little closer to the sun? Scientifically, if we were a little further from the sun? What about the relationship of the moon? What about the thickness of the crust of the earth? What would happen if it was thinner? What would happen, right? If we just look at these signs of the heavens and the earth, they can tell us the wisdom of God, God's grandeur. There must be a wise and wonderful creator. It says these are signs for people who are possessor of intellect. Now, Allah describes these possessors of intellect, these ulul albab. This is a reminder for all of us, if we want to be these individuals. The next verse, it says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. These people who are possessors of intellect, they're people who remember Allah standing and sitting, وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, lying on their sides, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. These individuals, they don't just go through life without pondering and reflecting. They're reflecting on the creation of the heavens and the earth. They say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. You didn't create all of this in vain. There's a reason for creating this. There's a place we've got to go. We've got to answer. A wise God, a wonderful God, who created this entire system, that you didn't create all of this in vain. Where is that fear that they have? It says, سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah, you're free of all blemishes and all faults. Subhanallah. They say, سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Keep us and protect us from the hereafter. So, the verse continues. It says, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارِ فَقَدَ خَزَيْتَهُ. Whoever you've caused to enter into the fire, you have humiliated this person. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. And the oppressors have no helpers. And the last part of the verse is this. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. We've heard a caller was calling us to faith. أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ. That person was telling us, believe in your Lord. فَآمَنَّا. We believed. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. O Allah, then forgive us for our sins. وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا. Absolve us of our evil deeds. وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Then make us die with the righteous. We ask that Allah accepts what was said and heard in His way. صَلُّوا عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدْ. بسم الله بسم
الله So for tonight, I guess there's no relevant questions sent in regards to this topic, so we're just going to finish a little bit early. صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.